I still believe like grandma that you gotta be born again. That only the blood of Jesus can wash away your sin. Her good old time religion still good enough for me today. I still believe like grandma did, I'm gonna stick to the old time way.
Well, grandma used to go to church. She believed what the preacher said, that the Savior who was crucified had truly risen from the dead. She never tried to spiritualize or call it just a fairy tale. She knew Jesus was the first fruit so that she could rise up as well. And when they talked about the Holy Bible, she never wondered which one they meant. They knew back then that the old King James was the one that the Lord had sent. No higher criticism for Grandma or wondering which part was true, 'cause she knew that criticizing was just something all sinners do.
Well, I still believe like Grandma that you gotta be born again. That only the blood of Jesus can wash away your sin. Her good old time religion still good enough for me today. I still believe like grandma did, I'm gonna stick to the old time way.
Back then they thought that shorts were short and no skirts above the knee. They called it indecent exposure instead of Christian liberty. The very least of Christians then, and even folks who never darkened the door, if they saw what you're wearing to get a tan, well, they'd faint right to the floor. And blue jeans then were working clothes just for men like Jim or Bob. Girls were trying to get their attention instead of trying to get their job. If they'd have seen a guy with pretty hair or an earring in his ear, they wouldn't have called it kind of cute, they would have called it kind of queer.
Well, I still believe like grandma that you gotta be born again. That only the blood of Jesus can wash away your sin. Her good old time religion still good enough for me today. I still believe like grandma did, I'm gonna stick to the old time way.
Well, where was positive thinking then for deliverance from your guilt? For self-esteem, they had to deal with their sin where the sinners knelt. Now don't you feel sorry for grandma's friends who lacked our psychology and had to bring their problems to the mourner's bench and get down on their knees? Well, if we had more preachers now like the ones from grandma's day, who preach it plain, say what they mean and then mean just what they say, if they work and pray and just obey all the things that the Lord has said, then we'd have more folks getting born again just like my grandma did.
Well, I still believe like grandma that you gotta be born again. That only the blood of Jesus can wash away your sin. Her good old time religion still good enough for me today. I still believe like grandma did, I'm gonna stick to the old time way. I still believe like grandma did, I'm gonna stick to the old time way.
The Bible is God's letter sent to man, containing all his precepts and commands to protect our lives from sin. Satan seeks to trap us in, and there's a Father's love behind each stern demand. But every page I read just says, I love you. And what's on my mind, I wanted you to know. All my promises are true. All you need to see you through. And every page just whispers, I love you. It's the roadmap marking which way we should go. And the pitfalls that await along the road. It's the light to be our guide. If in our hearts we'll hide Father's strength to carry us through valleys low. But every page I read just says, I love you. And what's on my mind, I wanted you to know. All my promises are true. All you need to see you through. And every page just whispers, I love you. It's the sword to fight each battle that we with the power all hell's forces can't defeat. Inspired and preserved so that we can trust each word. It's a Father's promise to protect and keep. It's forgiveness when I fail to pass the test. When I'm weary, it can soothe my soul with rest. With faith in God, I must learn to lean on Him and trust. For my Father cares and He knows what is best. And every page I read just says, I love you. And what's on my mind, I wanted you to know. All my promises are true. All you need to see you through. And every page just whispers, I love you.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's good singing, isn't it? That's wonderful. And I appreciate the good music tonight. It's so good. And I'm glad to be here. Somebody asked me a while ago, did you fly out of Atlanta? And I said, yes, twice. I flew from Charlotte to Atlanta. And then, Brother Coral, we got about halfway here. And they said, something's wrong with the plane. And then they said, we've got to go back to Atlanta. And so they turned it around, took it back to Atlanta and grounded it and sent us to another gate, put us on another airplane. So here we are. We're glad to be here. I never complain. I don't ever complain about airplanes. If they say we need to land, I said, I'm for it. Amen. Because I'm just, whatever you need to do, you do it. And I ain't gonna confess with them about it. And as people always say, did you have a good flight? Let me tell you what a good flight is. If it hits on its wheels on the runway, you had a good flight. That's a good flight, Brother Smith. Amen. Yeah, I don't complain about that much. And I just like to get a seat and sit down somewhere and then try to, you know, do the best I can. But I'm glad to be here and looking forward to being in this church and seeing this great church. And being at this conference, I appreciate Brother Coral having confidence in me to ask me to come and preach and in this meeting. And I love Brother Coral and appreciate him. And also the pastor of this church, Brother Terry Angel. I love him, love this man, and what a fine, fine preacher. And I know you've heard good preaching this week, and I know you have. And I'm just going to try to give you something tonight from my heart. I just want to help tonight. I thank God for you folks and being able to be in this great church tonight. Look in your Bibles in the book of John. And I'm going to try to preach to you a little bit and get out of the way and let the next preacher come and try to be a blessing. Thank God for the revival fires and what they're doing and what Brother Coral's doing. It's his burden. And God knows if we've ever needed revival in America, it's in these days in which we're living now. God knows we need revival. And I praise the Lord for God's goodness to our church. Sometimes I stand back and really, honestly, I'm undeserving of anything God would do that's good for me. But the Lord sure been good to me. And I'm glad just to be on His team and be in the family of God. And I think Paul said, I thank God that He counted me faithful, having put me in the ministry. God put me in this thing. I didn't try to get in it. I didn't run from it. When God called me to preach, I hear a lot of preachers say they run, when God called them. I'm being honest with you. I was tickled to death that God would use me. A matter of fact, I had to listen again to see, make sure He was calling for me. I couldn't believe God would use somebody as sorry as me in the ministry to serve Him. But I didn't run from it. I really didn't. Because I'd have starved to death if God hadn't have called me to preach, because I don't know how to do anything else. But I'm glad that He did put me in this thing. I've enjoyed it all. There's burdens and heartaches. I wouldn't do anything else. Amen? Listen, I love it, and I don't want to do anything else. I'm just glad that He, put me in the business. Every now and then, because of flying a lot, I'll get bumped up to first class. Not too much, but every now and then you do, you get up there and some of these big, businessmen, some of them, big executives, some corporation, I'll sit down and they say, well, what are you doing? Where are you going? And I said, I'm going to preach the Word of God tonight. I'm a Baptist preacher. Brother, listen, I don't try to be embarrassed about it. I'm glad. Brother, Listen, I'm doing business for the King, and I'm glad to be representing the Lord tonight. So you pray, and I'm going to try to be a blessing to you here these little bit. Brother Angel said a while ago, we don't just try to throw things together, and that's true. I've prayed for this and prayed that God would use me. I don't want to just get up here and, preach a message. You could get anybody to do that, but I want to preach something tonight that God would use to get a hold of your heart and take and use it to help you to be a better Christian. Look in your Bible in John 4, John chapter number 4, and we're going to begin reading in verse 33. If you'd stand with me in respect to this old King James Bible, and I love the Word of God, don't you? I don't know anything. I don't have any, and I apologize really for it. I don't have any education as far as, Bible school education. I figured out that I needed to go after it was too late, So I'm just doing the best I can. But, I've always believed with all my heart, all of my life, I've always believed the Bible was the Word of God. I believe it from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22 in the last Amen. I even believe in the sign where it says genuine cowhide. I even believe that. Amen. I believe every bit of it. I believe the Bible. And thank God for it tonight. Look at John 4, verse 33. Said, therefore said the disciples one to another, hath any man brought him aught to eat? And Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Say not ye there 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. Let's pray. Our Father, I pray that Thou would help me, God, to try to be a blessing to these people. Lord, a lot's been invested, dear God, and lots of time and prayer and all of it. And dear God, tonight, they don't need to hear a powerless preacher. Lord, I pray tonight that You would be upon me. And, Lord, that You would bring things to my remembrance. And then, Lord, help me to omit and forget anything that You wouldn't want me to say. Lord, I want to please you more than anything in the world tonight. Help me, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. And this story here is a story where Jesus told the disciples he must needs go through Samaria, you know. Jesus went through Samaria and took the disciples. And, of course, that wasn't the most popular place to go with the Jews. The Samaritans didn't like the Jews, and the Jews didn't like the Samaritans. But Jesus said, I must needs go through there. And in the heat of the day, as he sat there on the well, there, Jacob's well, it says in verse 6, in the heat of the day, as the disciples went to go get food to bring back, Jesus sat on the well, and a woman come through there with a water pot and to draw water. And Jesus asked that woman for a drink of water. You know, he knowed how to get a soul-winning thing going, didn't he? And he said, I'd like to have a drink of water. And she said, are you being a Jew? Ask me, a Samaritan, for water? And he said, well, how about letting me give you a drink then? He said, I'll just give you a drink, and I'll give you a drink from a well that you'll never thirst again. She said, sir, the well's deep. And she said, you don't have anything to draw with. But he wasn't talking about Jacob's well. He was talking about Jesus' well. Amen. And she said, well, sir, give me this water that I thirst not. He said, well, go get your husband. I might get him in on this too. And she said, I don't have a husband. He said, you've answered right. You don't have a husband. He said, you've had five, and the one you got now is not your husband. And she said, I perceive you're a prophet. And, of course, she figured out then that she never met a man like this. And, brother, she got so excited, she took off running back into town. And in verse 29, she said, come see a man that told me all things ever I did. Is not this the Christ? And, brother, those men knew what kind of a woman this had been. And they dropped what they were doing and took off out there. And the Bible said many of them believed because of the sayings of the woman. And then others believed when they heard Jesus themselves. And then the disciples came back. And Jesus rejoicing because this precious woman and these others had been saved. And they come with food and ask Jesus about eating. He said, I have meat to eat that you know not of. And they said, well, wonder if somebody brought him something to eat. And he said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me. In other words, here, I'm here to please the Father. My main thing in life is to please my Heavenly Father. You know, tonight, folks, that ought to be your desire, and that ought to be my desire. Amen? To please the Father. And Jesus said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me. And then he said to the disciples, say not, there are 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. He said, behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes now, for the fields are white unto harvest. You know what he was saying? Don't wait for the later months to come and say it'll be a good time then. He said, I'm telling you that people's everywhere now. They're everywhere. They're around this well. They're up on the hillside. They're in the villages. They're everywhere. Fellas, you need to lift up your eyes. You know, Jeremiah had something to say about the eyes. Jeremiah said, he said, mine eye affecteth my heart. You know, I believe today, I don't know what people's got their eyes on, but I really believe today that people's eyes are not on the main thing. I believe that we need to get refocused. You see, the Bible said where there's no vision, the people perish. And I believe today many will perish because that we have dropped our eyes and not looking on the fields. I want to speak to you for a few minutes tonight on this thought of reach them while you can. Reach them while you can. You know, Jesus said here that he said the time's running out. Don't say there'll be 4 months and then cometh the harvest. He said, I'm telling you that it's ready now. Things are ready to go now. You need to lift up your eyes and look on the fields now. And you and me are to reach them while we can. You know, time's running out. I'm no prophecy preacher. I'm just an old country preacher. I tell them down where I come from, I'm a country preacher, a cornbread and pinto bean kind of a man, you know. I mean, just plain food. You see, I mean, I'm talking about some country. We'd make Cracker Barrel look like a McDonald's. I'm talking about, brother, I'm talking about country food. I'm talking about country preaching. That's what I'm talking about tonight. And you know, I don't know a lot about prophecy. I don't try to get too deep in it, because I've seen some try to get deep and got out there so deep they never come back. And you know, David said, neither exercise myself in matters too high for me. You know what that means? Don't climb up on a limb where you can't get back out. You know, if you'll just preach a second coming of Jesus and say, He's coming, I don't know when, but you better be ready, you're always safe. Amen? And Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. And He said, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Now I know this. I know He went, and I know He's coming. I don't know when, but I know you better be ready. But I do know this. If I do understand anything about the Bible, I believe that in the book of those first three chapters of the book of the Revelations and dealing with those churches, Brother Carter, I believe that that last church there is that Laodicean church. Folks, I really believe with all my heart. I know that was a real local church, but I believe that that also represents a church time and a church age. And I believe with all my soul that you and I are living in that Laodicean church time. I think we're there now. And you know what it is? It's harder to motivate people probably than it's ever been, because people's eyes are in the wrong place and their heart's in the wrong place. And Jesus, in the Laodicean church age, it's in such a shape. He's standing on the church porch, knocking on the door, said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man open up," He said, "I'll come into him and sup with him, and he with me." And then he's knocking on the door of a church, but the church didn't want nothing to do with him. Then he just shifted from the church to a man. He said, "If there's a man in there that would meet with me, I'll sup with him and he with me." And then in the fourth chapter, you have the trumpet sounds, and after that, the church is not mentioned. Now, I believe that we're in the fourth quarter of this thing. I don't know when he's coming, but I believe with all my soul that we're right on the threshold of the rapture of the church, that Jesus is coming for the church. And so you and I, the greatest thing you could do now is get busy in reaching men, women, boys, and girls for the cause of Christ. I say to you tonight, reach them while you can. Let me give you some reasons why we should reach them while we can. Number one, we ought to reach them while we can because of the commission of Christ. Do you know it's not just called the commission, it's called the Great Commission. You know why it's the Great Commission? It's the last thing that Jesus Christ ever told His disciples before He left here. You know, also, it's called the Great Commission because it's mentioned not only once, but several times throughout the Gospels and throughout the New Testament. But it's mentioned in Matthew 28:19-20. And He said, "Go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost." That's one time in Matthew 28:19-20. Then you go over to Mark 16:15, and He said unto them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Then you go to Luke 14:23, and He said, "Go into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled." And you know, the servant come back and said, "Lord, it's done as I was commanded." And the Lord said, "Then go out and call the poor, the maimed, the lame, the halt, and the blind." And He said this, "And thou shalt be blessed." Do you know the key to getting your church blessed? You better get after that crowd. Get after that poor. Get after that maimed and halt and lame and blind. "And thou shalt be blessed." Now that's what the Lord said. And He said, so there it is again. That's the third time. Then you go to John 20:21. "Even as the Father hath sent me, even so send I you." That's the fourth time. Then if you go to Acts 1:8, He said, "But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and even to the uttermost part of the earth." That's five times. Now you tell me, if somebody told you something once, it's important. But if God said something twice, it's awfully important. And the third time, unbelievable. But four times, and then five times, and on, it's called the Great Commission. Reach them. Look, the Great Commission, it's not called the Great Option. It's called the Great Commission. And tonight, I don't care who you are, if you're a born-again child of God and you're in this auditorium tonight, you have a commission on you. You have a challenge on you and a call on you to get out and tell people about Jesus Christ. They're everywhere. I mean, people's everywhere. I was preaching a few days ago in Baltimore, Maryland, and was getting ready to leave that morning early, and I was going to pick up a little gift for my wife there. And the place had just opened, and I went in, Brother Coral, and there was a dear black lady in there named Dolores. And she was in there by herself, and she came over and asked if she could help me. And she was helping me pick out something. You know, I'm not too good at picking out gifts, you know, like that. But she came over, and she said, I think this looks nice. And she helped me out. And I went up to pay for it, and I gave her a little gospel tract. And I gave her a tract, and she thanked me for it. And I told her I was a Baptist preacher and gave her the tract. And I walked out of the store, and I didn't have long to go catch my plane, but I started down around. And when I looked back, preacher, Brother Terry, I looked back. And when I looked back, that woman was standing with that tract open and was reading that tract and was standing with it. And I didn't hear God audibly, but it was so real to me. It was so real. It just seemed like God said, buddy, you did a pretty poor job back there. And I went back and I said, oh, Mr. Dolores, will you excuse me? I'm sorry that I got in such a hurry. And I do have to hurry some because my flight's getting ready to leave. But I want to ask you, Dolores, if you died, do you know you'd go to heaven? And she said, well, you know, preacher, to tell you the truth, she said, I've been aiming to go down to my brother-in-law's church and let him baptize me. I said, well, you know, baptism's a good thing, but you need to be saved before you get baptized. I said, Dolores, it's called believer's baptism. I said, it'd be good to get baptized, but you've got to go through the blood of Christ before you get baptized. And I stood there, and I explained the gospel to that precious woman, and I watched her bow her head there by the cash register and ask Jesus to be her Savior. She took me by the hand, and she kept thanking me. She said, preacher, I want to thank you. She said, thank you for coming back. She didn't know it, but and one part of me was rejoicing, and one part of me was so convicted because I almost let that woman slip through my fingers and didn't tell her about Jesus. You know, they're everywhere. They're in the airports. They're at the gas station. They're down at the grocery store. They're in your neighborhood. They're across the road from where you live. They're down the road from where you live. They're up the road from where you live. I moved into a housing development about 8 years ago. And I travel a lot preaching, but I go soul winning every week. But I had not taken the time. I'd been so busy traveling. And one day I was praying there, and they gave me a list of the people who live in that development. I was praying for them. And I thought, I have not been to all their houses. And I got me some tracts, and I told my wife, I said, I'm going to go to every house in here. And this is the way I did. I'd lived there 6 months, and I hadn't been to the houses. I'd talked to a few of them, but not all of them. And I went to their house and knocked on the door. When they come to the door, I said, my name's Darrell Cox. I'm the pastor of Trinity Baptist Church up here in Moxville. But I said, I'm also your neighbor. And I've come to ask for your forgiveness. They said, well, what in the world for? I said, well, I've lived in this development for 6 months, and I've not even been here to tell you about Jesus Christ. And I said, I want you to forgive me, and I want to give you this tract that tells you how you can know for sure if you died, you'd go to heaven. And listen, I talked to nearly every one of them, almost every one of them, and I went to the house. And I felt convicted because I lived around them people and hadn't been to their house. You see, folks, the truth of it is, we need to start right here. I'm talking about start from the church and work our way out and reach them while you can and go from house to house and person to person and reach them because of the commission of Christ. Then let me say this right here. We need to reach them while we can because of being conscious of what time it is. The consciousness of what time it is. You know, Jesus said, say not, there's 4 months, then cometh the harvest. He said, behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes, for the fields are white already. Already. They're ready now. They're ready now. You know, Jesus said in John 9:4, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. He said, the night cometh. The night cometh when no man can work. Do you know the night cometh of poor health? There's some of you sitting here now that are letting the best days of your life with good health slip by and you're not using it. Brother, while you got it, you better use it. The night cometh when that you'll wish you could go and may be confined to a sick bed with a cancer or a stroke. And the night cometh of death. The night cometh of opportunity when days will go by My mama used to be a bus worker. And I talked to her on the phone nearly every day. I try to call my mother and dad. They went in years. And I try to call them. But a few days ago, I talked to my mama. And I was on a Saturday, and I was out on a bus route. And she said, "What you doing?" I said, "Working my bus route." My mom started crying. And I said, "What's wrong, Mama?" She said, "I was just thinking about the times when I was able to go out on a bus route." And she lives now nearly 24 hours a day with oxygen and can barely get around. And she said, "Oh, to relive them days, to be able to get in a van and go out in the housing projects and the trailer parks and the streets and go into all the places and knock on doors. But you see, the night cometh of ill health when you'll not be able to do it. The night cometh of opportunities to pass by. The night cometh when you'll die one day. And you've got to do what you're doing now. Be conscious of what time it is." You know, Paul said in Romans 13:11, "And that knowing the time, that it's now high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is spent and the day is at hand." We ought to be conscious of what time, my friend, that it is. Reach them because of the commission of Christ. Reach them because of the consciousness of what time it is. Then may I say this, reach them while you can because of the chances of death that will come upon man. You know, Hebrews 9:27 says, "It's appointed unto men once to die." You know that every man, woman, boy, and girl has an appointment with death. I know only one man that I know of in the Bible that God changed that appointment for. And that was old Hezekiah. And Hezekiah turned his face to the wall when the prophet walked in, told him, set his house in order, said, "You're going to die." And Hezekiah set his face to the wall and began to squall and bawl and cry and said, "Oh God, I've walked before you in truth and lived for you and stood for right." And God said, "I've seen your tears and heard your prayer. I'm giving you 15 years. But I don't know of anybody else in there that he changed that appointment for. Old Dr. Lakin used to say, "If I knowed where and when I was going to die, I wouldn't go there." But the truth of it is this right here, we're all going to die. You know, it amazes me how many people that I've led to Christ that now they're gone. I think about just one year ago, a woman that was a member of my church never could get her husband much to come. And they had a vacation place that they lived in Florida part of the year. And one day I got a telephone call, and her husband was a retired police officer, and his name was Tom. And she said, "Preacher, we're in Florida. I need your prayers. I've had to rush Tom to the hospital. He passed out on me, and we don't know what's wrong. They're running tests." And she called me back later and said, "Preacher, he's got a brain tumor. It's cancer. They're going to have to remove it." I said, "Can you put him on the phone?" And she did. And I said, "Tom," I said, "this is Brother Cox. And I want you to know I'm going to be praying for you." And he said, "Preacher, I'm afraid." I said, "I know you are, but I want you to know I'm praying for you." And I prayed with him on the phone. I called him every day while he was there. He was down there for about 5 weeks. And then he came back to North Carolina. And they transferred him over to the Baptist hospital. But I went to his house when he got home. And I said, "Tom, I'm not a medical doctor. And I don't know anything about medicine. I know the doctors are not giving you a good report. And I wished I could tell you you're going to get better." I said, "But I am a preacher. And I do know one thing, that you need to be saved." And we're sitting at his kitchen table. And I watched that big old police officer sit there. And I told him the gospel. And I watched his eye sockets cloud up with water. And I watched him sit there and weep like a baby. And he reached his hand out and got me by the hand and prayed and asked God to save his soul. You know, he lived just over a year. But Brother Coral, he was there every Sunday until he died. God took him on. You see, the truth of it is, what I'm trying to tell you, brother, that we need to reach them while we can because of the chances of death. I think about, Brother Angel mentioned my bus route. I've got a bus route. I've been on it. I started it 28 years ago and started just going over and visiting and got me a bus and started putting people on it and just kept doing it and kept doing it. And now here I am all these years later. One night, I was out in a little apartment complex and was out soul winning, me and another man, and three little blonde-headed kids come running up to me and said, "What you doing in here?" I'd never seen him before. I said, I'm a pastor and I'm out here soul winning. And they said, well, what soul winning? I said, well, it's telling people about Jesus. And the oldest of them said, won't you tell us about Jesus? Well, you know how it is now with children and your man out there. And I said, well, where do you live? They said, right there. And I said, well, I'll tell you what you do. You take off running over to the house, and I'll get in the car and drive over there. Is your mom and dad there? Yeah, mama's there. And I went up and got out and knocked on the door, and a woman come to the door, and she was a cab driver. Drove a taxi cab. And she come to the door with a cigarette hanging out of her fingers, and she said, what can I do for you? I said, well, ma'am, I'm a pastor of Trinity Baptist Church, and I run a bus route in this area, and met your children out here this evening, and told them I was telling people about Jesus, and I said, I got a little thing I do. I said, would it be all right if they sat down here on the steps, and I just told them a story out of the Bible? You don't mind telling a Bible story, do you? And I was going to preach a plan of salvation. She said, no, I don't mind. You go ahead. I said, well, I tell you, ma'am, if you don't mind, just sit down here with them. She said, I've got a call. I've got to leave. Go drive the cab. I said, well, let me ask you, can they come Sunday? She said, I don't care. She said, whatever you want to do. Brother, she walked right around me and left them kids sitting there. Little Austin and Zachary and Tamara. Three little blonde-headed youngins. And I took that Old Testament, took my New Testament and sat there and started telling them about Jesus. And them little old kids was eating it up. And the two older ones got saved. That little one there, I don't think he understood. But he was interested in what I had to say. They got saved. I said, I'll be back Saturday. And I went back in there Saturday, and there was Mom again with her taxi cab, and just as disinterested, not one lick of interest. And I said, well, listen, ma'am, can they come? She said, yeah, take them with you. Boy, the next morning I rolled up there in that old International, swung that door open, and here come three little blonde-headed youngins come running out of the house and jumped up on my bus. And every week then I'd go by there. I just kept going by and kept going by. And then Christmas rolled around. They rode about 6 months. Christmas rolled around. They didn't have nothing. Folks, listen, you're talking about pitiful. I'm talking about with nothing. They didn't have anything. I can't even tell you all the things that was going on. It's just horrible what all was going on with that family. And we got food and took in there and some toys, those little old kids. And I remember going in there on that Saturday and delivering that stuff. And I said, Jennifer, God loves you. God loves you and wants you saved. And you need to come. And she said, I know I do. And the next Sunday, I rolled up there with my bus like I did every Sunday and swung that door open. And them little three little kids run out. And the oldest one would always pull the door to when it came out. But not this Sunday. She left that door open. And here come Mama walking out. Brother Paul, she's dressed for church. And she come out and got up on the bus with me. I said, Jennifer, I'm so thrilled you're here. I'm so thrilled you're here. And she got on that bus, and we rode off to Sunday school. And I'll never forget that morning she sat right over here. And I got up and preached and gave an invitation that morning. And down the aisle, here come Miss Jennifer Wilkie. Down the aisle, boy, she dove in that altar. And one of our good ladies took the Bible and showed her how to come to Christ. And she got saved, and we baptized her and had them all coming. About 8 months went by, and one Saturday she called me on the phone, and she was crying. I went by there that morning and couldn't get anybody to the door. And she said, Preacher, I'm at the Lexington Hospital. I come there to get my son checked out. Austin was sick. And she said, I've been sick for 2 or 3 weeks. And they checked me out, and they told me that I have cervical cancer. And they're sending me to the Baptist Hospital. They said they couldn't do anything for me here. They put her in an ambulance and sent her over there. And from that day, she lived 6 months. She lived 6 months. Brother Terry and I preached the funeral. And them little old kids stood up there. You talk about something sad. No, they didn't have no dad, no man around anywhere. And just, it was just sad. But I'll never forget that littlest one. Took a microphone like this off of a stand. And he had glasses, had little old glasses on. Those glasses were thick. He was just about blind. And he stood up there, tears dripping off of his face. And he said, I just want to say that I thank God. He said, for the bus ministry and the preacher. Had a little lisp. He said, and for the preacher coming by with gospel tract and telling my mama, he said, about Jesus. And I'm going to tell you something, neighbor, listen. Hey, I'm going to tell you something, listen. There's nothing like it in all the world. And you know what? That mama got saved, and a woman that was, her kids come to our school, took that little boy, and another family took the other two and moved to Montana. And last March, I was out there preaching in Montana, and this preacher said, "We got a surprise for you tonight." And I got up and getting ready to preach, and out walked them two oldest youngins with a man with a flat top guitar, and them little old kids stood up and said, thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. Hey, let me tell you something. I didn't know if I was going to be able to preach or not. But I'll tell you something, neighbor, we better reach them while we can. That's what I'm trying to tell you tonight. We need to reach people while we can because death comes. Oh, listen, I think about a little old boy. I got his picture right here named Ephraim Gutierrez, little old Mexican boy that was riding one of our buses. This little old boy right here was 14 years old, and he rode Eddie Bodford's bus and come in one Sunday and got saved. And he was coming to church for weeks and weeks, and he kept on coming. And he'd walk out on Sundays. He never would go around me like a lot of them. He'd come to me and hug me. And he said, "Preacher, I love you so much." He said, "I want to be a preacher just like you." Folks, listen, he lived in a little old trailer. The floor was rotted out in it. And when you'd go up to visit him on Saturday, they'd be Corona beer cans 6 inches deep. I mean, and I'm talking about chickens running in and out of that trailer. It was the awfulest thing I've ever saw in my life. The floors, holes rotted through the floors. It was just awful. And that little old boy right there lived in that place. But he'd tell me, he said, "Preacher, I want to be a preacher when I grow up. I want to be just like my pastor." He'd hug me. Hey, do you know what? One day I got a telephone call, and that little boy was sitting in his school desk over there in the middle school. And they said he grabbed his head, preacher, and let out a scream and tumbled into the floor and had a brain aneurysm. Listen, he died. 14 years old. But thank God, listen, for a man named Eddie Bodford, that's a faithful bus captain that went out there on that bus route on Saturdays and reached little old Ephraim and told him about Jesus Christ and got him under the sound of the gospel and got him saved. That's what I'm trying to tell you it's all about. Oh, let me say this right here then. We need to reach him while we can because of the compassion of Christ. You know, the Bible said in 1 Peter 2:21, the Bible said that Christ left us an example that we should follow His steps. He left us an example. Follow His steps. You know what kind of steps? You know what? The Bible said when Jesus saw the multitudes, He was moved with compassion on them because He saw them as sheep having no shepherd. He saw them lost. Luke 19:41 said He beheld the city and wept over it. Jude 22 said some, having compassion, making a difference. You know what the difference in a good church is and a bad one? Compassion. Compassion. You know, today we're trying to come up with everything we can to reach people. I'll tell you what will reach people faster than anything else. Somebody that loves them. You know who will build a bus route? Somebody that loves the people they're reaching. And cares about. I'm talking about a genuine love and concern and care. People knows that. If you care, don't they? That's all it is. Hey, you know that man, one of the saddest verses in the Bible to me is when Jesus come down there in John 5, Brother Carter, and that man was laying there at that pool of Bethesda, and Jesus walked up and said, "Sir, how long have you been laying here?" He said, 38 years. He said, "Well, why haven't you got in the water when the angel come down to troubles the water?" He said, "Sir, I have no man. When the water's troubled, put me in the water." There's a lot of people that just says, "I don't have anybody. I don't have any man." Boy, I think about over there visiting one day about old a little boy in a motorized wheelchair. I was out visiting, and little old P.J. Morris met him, seen him out there in a wheelchair, and I said, "Well, it looks like a new boy over yonder." And I drove over there and pulled up in the car. I said, "Son, are you new in here?" And he said, "Yes, sir. Just moved in. Right over there is my dad on the porch." And I said, "Well, let's go up and talk to him. You go to church?" He said, "No." I said, "Let's go see about getting you on church." We rolled up there and I got out of the car. Brother Coral, a man sitting there in a pair of gym shorts and a tank top and a pair of flip-flops. Long hair. Sitting with a cigarette. And I got out and I said, "Hey," I said, "I'm Brother Cox from the Trinity Baptist Church." He said, "I'm Philip Morris." I said, "Man, I heard about you for years." He said, "I wished I had a dime for every time somebody said that to me." I said, "How long you lived here?" He said, "Just got here." He said, "My house burned down. And they put us in here. And I said, well, listen, I want to talk to y'all about the Lord and about going to church. And I said, let me ask you a question. About that time, the door busted open. Here come a little old girl out of the house, about 12 years old. And I said, I want to ask you something. Philip, are you saved? He said, no, sir. I said, PJ, what about you? He said, no, sir. And the little girl said, I am. She said, I got saved at a Baptist Bible camp last summer. She said, I'm saved and know it. I said, well, praise the Lord, young lady. But Daddy wasn't saved, and I took a New Testament out of my hip pocket and led Daddy and that little crippled boy in that wheelchair, led him to Christ. I said, would y'all come to church tomorrow? And he said, preacher, everything I got on is this. I got a pair of shorts and these flip-flops and this tank top. That's it. He said, everything we had burned up. I said, stand up. He stood up. Me and him was the same height, Brother Coral. And looked about the same size. I said, would it offend you if I gave you a bunch of clothes? He said, no, sir. I said, well, I'll tell you what to do. Will you come to church if I give you some of my clothes? He said, I sure will. I said, well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. You give me time to get back to Mockville. And I'm going to go back over and get through my suits and shirts and ties and everything. I'll bring you everything you need. And I said, and I'll get on the phone and I'll suit this boy up. I called my organist and told her about that little crippled boy. I said, he's about the size of William. She said, you come by and I'll have him a load of clothes. We went back by their clothes, and boy, the next morning I rolled up there in that bus, and listen, them boys come out, and they was all dressed up. Hey, they look like the same people. Hey, preacher, that man come out pushing that boy in that wheelchair, and I set the handbrake on that old bus and jumped off of it and went down in that wheelchair and picked that little boy up out of that thing in my own arms. It was like a little old Mephibosheth. I picked him up there and started up them steps and, listen, set him up in the chair, and his daddy got beside him. Brother, you talking about ready to preach that morning? Let me tell you something. Hey, I know what was going to happen when that invitation was given. I'm simply saying, folks, we need to have some compassion on people. You see, we need to reach them while we can with compassion. Brother, listen, we've got them at rides of buses. They come in every which way. Last week, I had a little old boy that the mother, listen, was living with an old boy that was sorrier and gully dirt and it wouldn't work and living with him in sin. And had two old big fat bulldogs that they ought to, I don't know what they ought done with them, but them old dogs wasn't worth a nickel. And this woman had three youngins. And took them two bulldogs and them other three kids and left that little boy with another woman. Said, now y'all can go by and get him, but we ain't got room for everything. Took them two old pit bulldogs. God have mercy. They ought to have skint them dogs out and barbecued them or something. Man, there's enough meat on them. Left their little boy there. But you know what? We go by and get him. And there was a teacher come out the other day, one of our junior church worker. She said, preacher, you need to do something with this boy. We can't hardly handle him in there talking about that little old boy. I said, let me tell you something about that little boy. I said, that boy's mama right there abandoned him. He ain't got nothing. He ain't never had nothing. And I said, I'll tell you what you do for me. And I said, I know he acts up and stuff. I said, I'll tell you what I want you to do. I want you to just love him as much as you can possibly love him. And I said, you pray. Because I said, you know what? I said, probably the only chance that boy's got this church and that bus and me and you. And I said, let's just join hands and pray and ask God to help us to put up with him and love him and do everything we can to keep getting him here and bring him in here on Sundays. And maybe one day that little old boy might be a Baptist preacher someday. And I said, I'm going to tell you right now, though, you can't just throw everybody out because they cut up. I know sometimes you've got to have rules and all that, but I'm just simply saying, folks, sometimes what we need is to crawl off in a back Sunday school class somewhere and have a prayer meeting and say, God, break my heart and help me to love them and have compassion, you see. Let me say this. I'm going to close out here just in a minute. But I want to say this. We need to reach them while we can because of the casualty of hell, the casualty of sinners. People's going to die and spend eternity in hell. Folks, you know Luke 16, you read about that rich man in hell that's there in hell burning and he looks up and the Bible said, and the rich man died and in hell he lift up his eyes being in torment and seeth Abraham afar off and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue for I'm tormented in these flames. And Lazarus said, or other Abraham said, son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest good things and likewise Lazarus evil things and now he's comforted and thou art tormented. Besides all this is a great gulf fixed. And he said, you can't come here and we can't come there. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, if one went from the dead, he said, send somebody back to my father's house. I got five brothers. Brother, he believed and so went and now, didn't he?
Oh, let me tell you something. Listen, we say we're fundamental, independent, Bible-believing, soul-winning people. And listen, folks, we need to get busy about this thing and get our pockets back filled up with tracts and get out on doorsteps of people and talk to people about Jesus Christ. You know what's sad is on Saturdays, Brother Smith, I'm out there on Saturdays and Thursday night. You know who you run into? You run into Jehovah's Witnesses. I'll never run into no independent Baptist. I'm always running into them Jehovah's Witnesses that's dressed up like fundamentalists. See? They look more fundamental than the fundamentalists. Yeah, man, they got them girls in them little old frilly dresses, and them men's got good haircuts, white shirt and a tie on, and shine shoes. And brother, listen, they transform themselves into an angel of light, but their doctrine is as wicked as the hell that spawned it. And let me tell you something, and yet here's some independent Baptist laying on his couch on Saturday, sucking on a iced tea, eating a hamburger, watching college basketball. Somebody will take a stick and run him plumb out of the living room, put him out on visitation. God have mercy on us. Well, listen, we're letting the world die and go to hell while we sit by and do nothing about it. We're letting people die and go to hell, my friend, the casualty of sinners. Oh, listen to me, folks. It's about time that Jesus said, lift up your eyes and look on the fields. Look on the fields. You know something you never see much anymore, hardly ever anymore, ever see anybody cry over an old sinner. You know, when I got saved, that's something that's missing in our churches. Oh, we got nicer buildings than we used to have. Oh, yeah. Yeah, we got a whole lot nicer buildings, bigger buildings. We've got everything in the world to reach people with. We got church vans, church buses, Bible colleges, computers, internet. We've got it all. Copying machines, you name it, man. Printing presses. We got the slickest paper and the prettiest pictures on the paper that you ever saw in your life, but we ain't getting the job done. See, the problem is we're not doing nothing. And yet the early church didn't have none of it. But the Bible said these that have turned the world upside down come here. That bunch that's turned the world upside down, they're coming in here. They didn't have anything except God and a burden. You know, the difference is this. Paul said, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness that I have great heaviness. Listen to this. And continual sorrow. For I could wish myself a curse from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. Then he goes over in that 10th chapter and says, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. But we've lost our burden. I remember in the little country church where I got saved, it wasn't nothing unusual when the preacher was giving an invitation to hear people coming down out of the choir, Brother Coral, and see them with their faces buried up in the carpet, sobbing, and their shoulders shaking, and people would say, what's wrong? And you pray for my brother, he's lost. Pray for my mama's lost. Pray for my daddy's lost. Oh, let me tell you something, them days is gone. Psalm 126, 5 and 6 said, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. And he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. But we don't weep. I'm going to give you this little poem, and then I'm going to close out here. This is called Through the Eyes of a Bus Worker. Some see a fight, a push, and a shove. I see a desperate one crying for love. Some see a brat, he acts so bad. I see a boy who's never met his dad. Some see the messes and troubles they give. I see poverty in the places where they live. Some see a teenager who doesn't dress right. I see a little girl who has to protect herself at night. Some see a smart mouth, disrespectful and loud. I see a kid who's always made fun of by the crowd. Some see a woman who comes just to use. I see a lady by a drunk husband abused. Some see a drug addict withered and worn. I see a soul the Lord once reborn. Some see the dirt, the filth, and whatnot. I see a kid who without Jesus does not have a shot. Some see a crook who they don't trust that much. I see a man who needs the Lord's touch. Some see a bunch of heathen who holler and yell. I see kids whose parents are in jail. Some see a teenager who gives a lot of flack. I see a young person whose parents use crack. Broken homes and broken lives and those without hope. They need compassion and God's grace to cope. For every little girl who lies awake, hungry at night, Lord, help me to stay in the fight. For every scared boy who sees his mama get hit, Lord, help me to be faithful and never quit. For every mama who needs a new start, Lord, help me to show her to ask Jesus into her heart. For every man on whom sin has a hold, Lord, help me to make sure the gospel story is told. Lord, to me your mercy you have shown. Now help me to reach out so others may make heaven their home. May others judge gently when these folks see. If it were not for God's grace, that's where we'd all be. Somebody reached you one day. Somebody told you one day. Say not, for there cometh 4 months and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes now. Go back home this week. Get back on that bus route. Visit that Sunday school class. Get you some tracts and go up and down your street telling people God loves them. Father, I pray, Lord, tonight, that, Lord, that you'd stir somebody's soul. I pray, dear God, tonight somebody would leave here, Lord, burdened about winning others to Jesus Christ. Lord, let us get back to the old-time way of simply, Lord, caring about people and having compassion and reaching them and going out in the highways and hedges and doing, Lord, what you told us to do. Father, thank you, Lord, for the day, Lord, that I heard the gospel and got saved. I thank you for it. Thank you, Lord, for allowing me to serve you. Thank you for this conference and Brother Coral and these good preachers and Brother Angel and this great church. God bless us tonight. Lord, may we be changed when we leave. In Jesus' name, amen.